Okay, happy election day. We're on Daf Kuf Zayin. Kuf Zayin Aleph Lamala. The top tippy top 27A. The Mishnah had said, actually, if you go back to the Mishnah, the previous one, Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah Shel Ya'el Pashut Ufiv Mitzupe Zahav. Piv Mitzupe Zahav. So this is, we're not used to, let me, here's an audio visual aid. It really is an audio visual aid. That's really what you mean. What do you hold the shofar? That's, you blow it, it's audio. So the Mishnah describes a shofar whose mouth is plated with gold. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya tzipu zahav bimkom hanachat piv pasul." If you coat the mouth, where you, you know, the place where your mouth meets the shofar, it's pasul. So what does it mean? Upiv mitzupe zahav.
The Mishnah talking about case with kasher.
The Mishnah states it as a fact. Shofar shavash hashanah shel yael pashut upiv mitzupe zahav. Right, borusha it's kasher. So here there's a brisa that says that it's possible. Shelo bimkom hanachat piv kasher. Right? In other words, when the Mishnah says they would coat it with gold, so apparently that's not here at the tip. In other words, there's no chatzitza, which seems to be the problem. There's no chatzitza between the lip and the shofar. Right? So where would they coat it? They would coat it, there'd be like a band of gold or something here, like a centimeter or two above the mouthpiece. What was this for?
Decoration.
I guess decoration. What's the obvious question?
If it's not gold, is it still kosher?
Well, in other words, what's it for? But just, you know, just earlier we were talking about en kategor nase sanegor, right? And here it's so why? Because we, when we were done with en kategor nase sanegor, it was so mitigated to a very specific application. You know, that's the way it is. You have like these principles that are principles. But by the time you're done mitigating their application, they turn out to be hardly principles at all. This is like an interesting phenomena of halacha. Instead of having like a limited, you know, specific case law, right? It could have been stated as the following: the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear gold vestments into Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom HaKippurim. Instead, we say it as a kind of global principle. Ein kategor nase sanegor. So we might think that'll apply to the following 15 different cases. So we say, well, in this case, it doesn't apply. In this case, for this reason, it doesn't apply. In that case, for the other reason, it doesn't apply. In the third case, for a third reason. So that by the time that you're done, you're limited to one case. It's like, I think I mentioned, a mitzvah that says nashim p'turot from mitzvah that says shezman grama, except for all the mitzvah that says shezman grama that they're obligated in. Right? Like, what are the biggest mitzvah that say shezman grama?
Shabbat.
Ain't mitzvah that says shezman grama yoter mizu, but nashim rachayavot b'chol mitzvah Shabbat. Pesah, mat, achilat, all the mitzvah that say matzah, moror, haggadah, etc. Right?
Purim, Chanukah,
everything there for one reason or another, and each one has its own limud, right? Why the women are chayavot, and even shofar, which they're not. We don't have a limud for shofar, but we say nevertheless. Oh, maybe it's who do we think it is? Hello. Ayelet Shaked calling in the middle of the shir. Ayelet, we're in the middle of the shir. We'll call you back. Can you believe Ayelet Shaked calling me? That's something.
Be careful. Told me yesterday and today.
I mean, it's a problem with like, even Tamei Mitzvot almost. It's parallel to, in the sense of like, you know, you instead of just having the halakha, you have the reasons, and then you start getting confused, you know, conflating the reasons with the actual laws themselves.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a phenomena.
It would have been better if the Gemara didn't say that reason.
I don't know. And it's maybe, like, that's the idea that, like, we have these kinds of principles, and even though the principles have limited applications, they still have. If I would have told you there's a din, the Kohen doesn't. As if the Gemara had just said there was a brisa, right? Vatanya, ein Kohen Gadol nechnas lefnai velefnim bebigdei zahav. Nekuda. So it says okay, it's a halacha, right? The gzeris, not gzeris akosuv, but it's.
Right?
Well, it is gzeris akosuv in the sense that the Torah does mention that, So we'd say that's it. And then we could speculate about the Tamei HaMitzvot. Right? But Chazal say, no, there's a principle. In other words, it turns that halacha about the Bigdei Zahav into a manifestation of a larger principle in Kategor Nasi
Sanik. It's like the bridge between Torah Shabbat.
Right, but here
because if you have something that was like you don't have a reason for it all, then it would stay in the getter of Torah Shabbat. But if you have this principle, that principle can apply to Rosh HaBalpeh as well, and then you can, and then you hypothetically can
right,
apply
but to except, other cases. But in reality, there aren't too many applications of the principle, right? Because
so
you think like a principle is like it's a global. You'd see like 100 examples. No, in other words, maybe the particular case and the principle. Maybe the particular case is the only implementation. But what do you gain by retaining it as a principle instead of as a
memory
specific
device.
Case?
And potentially it could lead you in cases where that wasn't, where, you know, all things be equal, you would still...
I think that's the point, that it expresses a value which exists as a kind of global value, like a way that we ought to think about.
And with that, like when I was listening to Shira, everyone remembered that. Everyone remembered, like, when you first brought up the Mishnah, in Kategor Nasi Sanegor, it was like a thing. Oh, I know that.
Right.
Even if later it had to be deconstructed, but it was like, it was something that stuck with people.
Right, so that's a mnemonic, you're saying that's like a memory device.
Both a memory device and also something you sticks with you. Not even just stick with you, remember like whether you should use a cow for a chauffeur or not, but a memory device for the reason behind it, because you have this klal, and then, okay, nechon, so like, there might be a lot of reasons we don't apply it, but like something that sticks in our head.
Right. But again, in other words, there's value in distilling any given halakha to its larger principle, even though the principle itself might have that many applications, but then it remains as a kind of...
Like a goal. Like mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. There's a million times we say, you know, it's not necessary with all the cases, but like...
Yeah, we're about to get to that.
I'm saying, but that's an example also, like a klal, that you might say, okay, maybe there's a lot of cases that doesn't apply, but it is true that we should be aspire to that, and you could say we could aspire to... Something that was used for a negative purpose shouldn't be used for a positive purpose. And in this case, though, if it's not, if it wasn't gold, would that be acceptable?
It certainly wouldn't be posel.
Well,
but
why?
In other words, you've seen shofrot that have like these decorations on.
No,
them.
No, I'm talking about if it was like some other.
Oh no, because there's the problem is the chatzitza, and that wouldn't matter
right,
whether it was gold or silver.
Saying,
or
but, so just an example they gave in the bright house.
Apparently, well, in other words, the Mishnah, the Rashi says, "Upim mitzvah zahav v'chulei b'mkom anachat peh pasul shatkiya b'zahav v'lo b'shofar," right? Because the chatzitza. Right. So, in other words, any metal or any addition itself would be posel because of the problem of chatzitza. So, either zahav is just an example of something you might decorate it with, or if for whatever reason Chazal thought that was what you should put on the shofar. In all cases, we do not do this. We do not, and this is not our practice to have. Right? But it's not posel. I mean, we're about to learn the only thing that's posel. Shofar is if you do something to it that changes the sound. So Omar Abaye kitna nami matniten shlo b'mkom anachat pe tnan. So when the Mishnah talks about the gold, so it's obviously also talking about not b'makom pe. There's a machlokas we've shown him about what the case is when it's posel. Is it that you just coat the tip with with gold, right? Like if you just have like a gold plate, you know, like gold leaf or something like that, right? Or was it that they had like a mouthpiece, right? In other words, there was a mouthpiece that was attached to the shofar that you would. Have you been to that museum of the music in the Kikar Musica?
Yeah.
There's an interesting museum. We were there with the kids on Chol HaMoed in Kikar Musica, this museum of, I think they call it, of Jewish music. They have an extensive collection of musical instruments. Some you've never heard of. Some that they have, you know, it's like a la Machon HaMikdash, where they have, you know, they try to demonstrate what all of these different biblical, you know, from Tehillim and etc. are. And then they have like music of the different Eidot throughout history, and the instruments that were used, you know, in Morocco and klezmer music and whatever it is. So they have these shofrot, this exhibit of shofrot, like the different, you know, size and shape of shofrot that you can actually blow on. The shofrot, they're like mounted on a stand. You can't move them. And then they have these plastic tip covers, because they don't want every kid putting their mouth onto the same shofar, I guess for liability reasons. So they have these like disposable chad-pami little, it like fits right on, and it has like this little, you know, like the end of a kazoo that you blow into, so you're blowing into that instead of into the shofar itself. So maybe that's what this thing was, although made out of gold, so that you were, you know, like you had a mouth, you know, like at the end of it. You played trumpet as a kid,
yeah,
right? So the trumpet has the mouthpiece that goes in, right? And it would have been something like that. So maybe that's what's pasul. According to the Shita, and I'm momentarily forgetting whose Shita is which. So according to the Shita, that it was a kind of mouthpiece, maybe they held, if it was just kind of covered with gold leaf, that's not pasul, right? Because that's hardly a chatzitza at all. But l'chol ha'deot, we don't do neither this nor that. U'shtei chatzotzot min hatzdadim. The Mishnah had said in the Mikdash, what they would do is the guy would blow the shofar, and they would have two trumpeteers with the chatzotzrot on the side. So they would all start, you know, like they'd say, and a one, and a two, and a three. Boop! And all three instruments, the two chatzotzrot and the shofar, would start blowing. But then the shofrot would cut off, the chatzotzrot would cut off, and the shofar would continue blowing. Why? So the Mishnah says, "Ki mitzvat hayom." Where are we? Shemitzvat hayom b'shofar. Chatzotzot mekatzrot. Shemitzvat hayom b'shofar. Right. So that there's that. After you've blown the chatzotzot together with the shofar, you have unadulterated shofar, because that's after all the mitzvah. V'trei kalei lo mishdame. We have a principle, and here's another good example. Here's a principle, but we're going to see there are a lot of exceptions to the rule. Trei kale lo mishdame means two voices cannot, literally means two voices cannot be heard. But what it in practice means is that when you're listening to two voices or two sounds simultaneously, you can't really differentiate between them. You know, you go to the orchestra, and you hear all of the music together, right? And even though you can differentiate between the beat of the percussion and the swelling of the strings and the sharpness of the wind instruments, you don't hear any one instrument alone, I mean, unless they have a moment of solo, right? You hear them, what you're hearing is the mixture of them all together. This idea of trei kale lo mishdame becomes the basis of the leniency regarding kol isha, right? In other words, kol isha is this idea that you can't listen to a woman sing, but there are all types of mitigating cases in which some rabbonim are lenient, right? Even if you could imagine listening to recorded music. You've heard of such a leniency? I mean, don't say that I was giving out kulas, but there is such a kula that it's permitted to listen to recorded female vocal music. because after all, it's not the real thing. And another kula is if you have multiple people singing together, because of this principle of tre kale lo mishtame.
People that sing Zvirot on Shabbat, so...
Zvirot on Shabbat.
Some houses with women just quiet, yep. Some houses the women sing, and it's a lot of people together.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some houses they don't sing Zvirot at all, lest the women will sing. So trei kali lo mishtame. So wait a second, if it's trei kali lo mishtame, so then you're not hearing the shofar. In other words, when you're hearing the chatzotzot and the shofar together, you're not hearing the unadulterated shofar. And the mitzvah tayom is shofar. Va'atanya, zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad ne'emru. Right? What's zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad? In other words, it's a problem. In Parshas Yisro, in the Aseres Dibros, it says Zacharat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. And in Parshas Vayeschanan, it says Shomor Ad Yom HaShabbat. So how could it be that there's a stira in the Aseres Dibros? That's not the only. There are other stira between the two texts of Aseres Dibros. Right. So what happened? When Kadosh Baruch Hu said the Aseres Dibros, they came out at the same time. Right, Shamor v'Zachor, because he's not physically limited as a human is, he's able to speak two things at the same time. You know, there's this weird, very rare, weird vocal condition where a person can sing harmony with themselves. Look it up. It's very weird. You can find people doing this on YouTube. They have this thing where the vocal cords allow them to sing at two different pitches simultaneously, and it sounds beautiful, but it's very weird because it sounds like there's two voices coming out of one mouth. So that's ki'ilu how we understand Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad, right? So how could it be the Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad, but yet we understood it because it was a nes, but minus a nes, we. Right, so but it's because it's a nes, so that's a nes. But minus a nes, we generally say trei kali lo mishtame.
It's a nes, it's just
well,
not human.
No, but it's a nes in the sense that it's beyond teva. That's what a nes is, meaning it's not the way the world generally. Ma she'en hape yecholah ledaber, ma she'en ha'ozen yecholah lishmo. Lakach ma'arich b'shofar. And that's why when they blow the shofar this way, first you have and a one and a two and a three. They all start blowing together, and then the chatzotzot cut off, so that you hear only the shofar. Ki mitzvat hayom b'shofar, right? Lameimra dechishama sof tekiya blow tchilat tekiya yotza. So what happens? As if we had a blackboard here, I would draw like the sound waves, right? But you can imagine, here are the chatzotzrot, and here's the shofar, right? Mm-hmm. So since you have this kind of, the kol shofar, which goes from here to here, so we say that the first part of the tkia, you're not really hearing properly, because it's adulterated with the sound of the chatzotzra. And then after 2 seconds, the chatzotzra cuts off, and then the rest of the tkiah, you have just the tkiah and your yotze. Which means you don't need to hear the whole tkiah. Because if you hear the end of the tkiah, apparently that's enough. That causes a problem. Look at this. Ayala Chakait sent me now a text message. She really wants to talk to me. I get. She didn't know that I voted already. I posted it on Facebook. You don't think it's really her, do you?
I'm
her voice.
Crazy. Lamema de Hishama soft kia blot chilat kia yotza umimela chilat kia blot soft kia. And therefore we want to imply that the opposite would be true. Right? In other words, if I hear the tekiah, and then like in the middle of the tekiah the fire alarm goes off, so that I can't hear the end. Was I yotze? In other words, is a part of the tekiah shofar enough? Or do you need to hear the whole kol? A kol is what we call a note.
How do you define that? I mean, is there a certain time constraint that it has to be X seconds long?
Yeah, in other words, it's two things. Tekiah shvarim trua, shvarim trua tekiah. In other words, every line of the tekiah shofar is a sandwich. There's a tekiah at the beginning. It's a tekiah sandwich. That's not actually a tekiah sandwich. That would be called like a bread sandwich. The bread of the sandwich is the tekiah. Tekiah, something in the middle, tekiah. Right? And in the middle, you either have a shvarim, a trua, or a shvarim trua, where they're combined. Right? The tekiot have to be at least as long as what's in the middle. Right? It can't be a Dagwood Bumstead sandwich. You know what a Dagwood Bumstead sandwich is? You have the bread and then you have all this other stuff piling out the middle. No. It has to be a nice, neat sandwich where the bread covers whatever's in the middle. The tekiah has to be at least as long as whatever. That's why the Baal Tokeya, if he's a little anxious, stands there, you know, with his watch. Or not with his watch, he's counting on the, you know, he's going like this with his, he's counting the beats, right? To send, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, to know how long the tekiah was. It's usually not a problem. I mean, if you daven in Mishkan Tzipora, it's never a problem. Because our Baal Tokeya won't let it be a problem. Because he blows incredibly long tekiot. Because once, many years ago, he blew one tekiah that was too short, and the Makri made him go back to repeat. And he vowed it would never happen again. So now every tekiah is like a tekiah gedola. And thank God he's got the lips and the lungs to make it happen. But it's mostly a problem during the Shvarim Trua. Because the Shvarim Trua has more stuff inside the sandwich. So the tekiot on either end have to be longer. So it's a kind of objective, subjective shi'ur of how long the tekiot have to be. They have to be long enough to cover the length of whatever is in the middle.
So how can you know, I mean, when they're checking it, how do they know lechatchila if the first one was long enough?
No, so in other words, that's what I do. In other words, you blow the tekiah, so you count it out. 1, Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi... And then you have to count what's in the middle. And again, it's only ever a problem for the Shvarim Trua. Right? So then you count. Well, it's also a problem sometimes with the Truot. The Truot, we do nine pips in the Trua. Some people do 5. Some people do more. Right? If you do, you can do more. But if you do so many that the Trua goes on too long, particularly if you're doing the Shvarim Trua, a Shvarim is more objective. It's 3 kolot, right? It's either or it's and our Baal Tokeya does both of them, meaning in the tekiot de miyushav, in the tekiot that you do when you say the bracha before the amida, I think he does them straight, ta ta ta. And in the Chazaras Sashatz, he does them in that kind of plaintive to be yotze kol adeus. But you have to count. You have to know how long it was before, how long it was in the middle, and then to know that the final tekiah is at least that long. So the Mishnah, the Gemara now says, well, apparently from the Chatzotzot, we see you don't need to hear the whole of the tekiah, right? As long as you hear a portion of it, either presumably the end. From the case of the Chatzotzot, we want to say you hear the end. And from that, we presume it means if you only heard the beginning and didn't hear the end, you're also Yotze. In other words, how long is a tekiah? It's as long as it needs to be. So let's say the stuff in the middle of the sandwich is 3 seconds. For a shvarim, all you need is 3 seconds. So your tekiya is going to be much longer than that. Let's say your tekiya, let's say he blows a 10-second tekiya. You don't need all 10 seconds. How many seconds of that tekiya do you need to hear? No.
Three.
Is it tekiya, shvarim, tekiya? So you hear tekiya. And then you hear shvarim. And then you hear a tekiya. Now that final tekiya is going to be 10 seconds long. But how much of it do you actually need to hear?
Three.
Only 3 seconds. So what if you hear the first 3 seconds and then you walk out the door? Were you yotzei? Or do we say, no. You need to hear a tekiya. What's a tekiya? It's the noise that comes out from the beginning until the end. It has to, in this case, it has to be at least 3 seconds. But if it happens that this guy is blowing for 10 seconds, you need to hear the whole thing. Because until you hear the beginning and the end, it ain't a tekiya.
And I'd say you have to, on the end one, you can walk out after 3 seconds, not on the beginning one.
Uh-huh.
The beginning one, you don't know how long the...
Say that, but it doesn't... Uvda, if you walk in in the middle of the tekiya,
right,
and you catch the final 3 seconds, right, and then you hear the 3 second shvar, and then you hear the first 3 seconds of the end tekiya and walk out, mm-hmm, and he's going to go on for another 5 or 6 or 7, where you yotze. Mm-hmm. So the havamina here is yes. You don't need to hear the whole tekiya. Right? You don't need to hear the whole tekiya. You just need to hear either the beginning or the end. That's the havamina. So tashma. So now we need to...
But in any case, we were talking about the time when the Chatzotra was being blown together with the shofar.
Yeah.
So the time after the Chatzotra stopped, that's the time that has to be equal to the shvarim.
Presumably. Right. So tashma. So let's try to figure this out. Listen to this. Taka b'rishona u'mashach b'shnia k'shtayim ein b'yado ela achat. What do? You do tekiya, shvarim, tekiya, and then on the next line it says tekiya, shvarim, tekiya. But what if you do the following? Tekiya, 3 seconds, shvarim, 3 seconds, tekiya, 6 seconds, and we say, okay, you have a long tekiya. Let that be the final tekiya of the first row and the first tekiya of the next row. Right? So he says, ein biyado ela achat. Right? It doesn't matter how long you blow. Corey can blow a 4-minute tekiya. We don't say, fine, in the editing room, we'll chop it up and disperse it out wherever it needs to be. No, it's one kol, even though it's very long, because there's no... How long is a tekiya gedola? You know, like then it says tekiya gedola. How long is a tekiya gedola? There's no such thing as a tekiya gedola. I mean, there's no shear for a tekiya gedola. It should be a little bit longer than everything else, right? So the balei tekiya, they like to show off and like give it their all and go on for a minute and a half, whatever they got. Right? But there's no shear for a tekiya gedola. So you blow that tekiya, no matter how long it is, right? It's only one tekiya. Amai tisalek le bitarte. Right? Let it count for two. Psuket kiata mahadade lo paskina. No, we don't chop up the tekiyot. Right? No matter how long it is, it's only one tekiya. It only counts as one kol. So what does that wanna prove, or what does that want to?
What we're saying is that even if it's a long tekiya at the end, and you walk out after 3 seconds, so you haven't heard the whole tekiya. The tekiya is one unit.
The tekiya is one unit.
Right.
So if you don't hear the whole thing beginning to end, you haven't heard a tekiya. You can't try. You can't say I was able to edit the 3 seconds that I needed, even though I didn't.
The same thing at the beginning. The
3 seconds
with Chatzotra.
Right, so it's a kasha. So how can it be? So tashma, hatokei l'toch habor, l'toch hadot, l'toch hapitam. this is going to come back later when we get to Kavana, but if you blow the shofar into a pit or into a barrel or into a what do you call that? It's like a
puntin.
What?
A puntin.
You're talking about the pitas, right?
That's what
Rashi says. The pitas, yeah. Right? It's like a what do you call those? Like a big ceramic jug. A jug. Right? Im kol shofar shama yatsa. V'im kol havara shama lo yatsa. So it depends on what you hear. That's if all you're hearing is the echo, so then you're not yotze. Why? Because it's not the kol shofar. But if you can hear the shofar itself, then you are yotze. Amai lepuk betchilat kia mikame de le arbev. What? De la arbev kala. Right? Let's say, so tell them, listen, so listen, as what happens? You start blowing. Right? You know how like an echo works. Right? In other words, the echo, you hear first the sound, and then you hear it reverberating back to you. The echo doesn't begin the moment you start making the sound. Bobby. Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. Cindy, 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 Cindy. He doesn't get it. Rachmanis.
Pretty Bunch, right? Canyon episode.
Right? In other words, if I had a blackboard, what would I show? I would show the actual coal. In other words, the actual sound would start here, and then the echo would begin here. Right? They would overlap like this. There'd be an edge on each other. So we say Vesader. So listen, we're afraid you're only hearing the echo. So listen to the first couple seconds before the echo reverberates back to you. What does that imply?
That you can cut it off.
Yeah.
Is that, in terms of the echo, is there any people who say, like, shuls have to have a certain type of acoustic to avoid these kinds of things?
I've never heard such a thing, but I don't know of any indoor buildings that have that much, where the acoustics are such that it's so much echo. They have a lot of these. Well, what are these acoustic tiles?
There is no echo.
So yeah. You just see. But you have acoustic tiles that amplify the voice. Where was I? I was speaking somewhere. I was in some shul. It was like a scholar in residence somewhere, and they had like above the like we have these. These aren't tiles. What are these? These are foam.
Right.
That is, but you could see that standing here, like these three rows, like going halfway back, they were of a different material. And if you spoke standing here at the podium, your voice projected in a way that it wouldn't if you were standing here. There was something about it that somehow...
In the Capitol in Washington, they have that. I got a tour there a few years ago, and it was amazing. You stay, there's all these groups that are in this big... That wasn't the rotunda, but it was some room, some big room. All these groups, different places standing there, and they said, watch this. They designed it such a way, you stand in one spot, and they say, or the guide would go far away, you stand here, and then you say something... And despite all these people, you can hear across the room.
Oh, so there's in St. Paul's Cathedral, I've never been, but in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, they also have this kind of thing where you stand, right. If you whisper on one side, it can be heard, on the other. Right. My friend Chaim Be'er, the rather well-known Hebrew author, told me a story once. He was in London, and his kids were there. It was a long time ago. His kids were very small. And they go into the church, and he was like ambivalent about going into a cathedral. But he's there with his little kid, and he puts the little kid on one side, and he goes over to the other side. And it's like marked, stand here and whisper, and it's heard, like it conveys over this. So he stands there, and what does he whisper? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So, yes, okay. Ella, tarte kale, Michad Gavra Lo Mishtame. Mitre Gavre Mishtame. So what is it? We say two Tarte Kale, two voices from one person cannot be heard. Mitre Gavre Mishtame. What is it? In other words, two voices from one person, that's when it can't be heard. Shamor v'zachor should not have been understandable, except for the fact that it was a nes. But when it's two different people, so we do this all the time. Two people, you listen to Simon and Garfunkel, you know which one is Simon and which one is, even though they're harmony, they have that beautiful harmony, right? You knew which voice was Simon and which one was Garfunkel.
This is used by people who are against the kula for kolisha.
Right, so this is a problem for that device.
Gavre, so maybe for women it's
for women. So another. So what? So when they're blowing the chatzotzra and the shofar together, maybe it's not a problem, because what I just said a moment ago is not technically correct. When you're listening to the orchestra, you can differentiate between the different types of instruments. Right?
Yeah, because there's three, then it's okay. Two chatzotzot and a shofar, so you can differentiate which one is the shofar.
No, but even if it was just the chatzotzot, if you have two violins playing the same exact notes simultaneously, you can't differentiate which, I mean, unless they're on different sides of the room, right? I mean, like the human hearing is pretty good at being able to differentiate based on location. But if you have two violinists standing next to each other and you're standing at some distance and they're playing the same notes at the same time in sync, you can't tell it merges into one sound. But if you have a violin and a flute playing the same notes, you can differentiate. So you have a chatzotzra, even shtei chatzotzrot and shofar, you can differentiate. Umitre gavre mi mishtame, right? But can you really? Is this true? What we're suggesting, that if two different instruments or two different people are speaking or singing together at the same time, that you can differentiate? Vahatanya, b'Torah echad kore ve'echad mitargem. When you have kriyas haTorah, you only have one bal kore, and when you have the targum, when the mitargem is mitargem, you only have one mitargem. You don't have two people doing it together at the same time, right? Ubilvad shlo yoshnayim korim v'shnayim mitargemin. You can't have two people doing it at the same time. This is not, in other words, what our practice is, that when you get an aliyah, you know, you're supposed to read along with the bal kore, because really you're supposed to be reading. This whole institution of the bal kore reading on our behalf, that's an institution from the fact that people can't really be counted on to be called up to the Torah in a pinch and be able to read properly with the ta'amim, and so we assign it to a bal kore to be motzias, but we say the brachot. So we say the brachot, you should actually read it along. But that obviously has to be read not just in an undertone, but nearly silently, so you don't even, you know, just in the balei, the bal kore generally hates that when you're reading out loud along with him. Ha lo damya ela la seifa. The end of the brisa, b'halel uvamegillah afilu asara korin. Right, you can have a lot of baalei halel and baalei megillah, right, reading halel out together or reading the megillah together. Even why, alma kevan dechoviv yohiv daate. Since these mitzvot are very special, people will be attentive. People will pay attention and will listen carefully to be yotze. Hachanami kevan dechoviv yahav date.
People read the Megillah simultaneously or yotze.
That's what the brisa says, right? Yahav date. What's interesting about yahav date? At the end of the last Gemara, when we were talking about words that were unfamiliar to Chazal, one of those words was Yav, right? But here we see Chazal use the word perfectly well. That's why the Gross said it's not what you think it means. So they didn't know what the word meant, right? They knew the pshat of the word. They didn't know how to explain the philosophy behind, like, what it means to, what it means to get something for nothing, what it means to, when the camel driver says, "Put your pack on the camel, and I'll take it for you." That's what the Gross says. Can't be, they didn't understand the word. So Hochanami kevan dechoviv yev date v'shama v'shoma. Right, they'll pay attention, they'll listen, they'll be yotzei tkiyat shofar. Ela lama marich b'shofar. So okay, so then what do you need to be marich b'shofar for? Leidat shemitzvah yom b'shofar. Not because you wouldn't be yotzei. If the notes of the shofar and the chatzotzrach coincided completely, you would be yotzei. So why do we give the shofar extra solo time? Because that's the ikar, right? We wouldn't want anyone to think that the we wouldn't want anyone to think that the mitzvah is the chatzotzra, right? But that's it. So in the end, there's another. It's like a perfect example of like one of those gemaras where like, why did you just say so up front, right? But if we had done that, you would have missed out the whole learning about the Indian of Trei Kalei L'Mishtameh, which turns out not to actually be relevant in this case, but yet is preserved here for the purposes of the learning. Okay. I think we'll have shiur next week.
I will not be coming, but...
But I'm coming back from Chutz Laretz the day, the night before. But I think we should be able to pull it off. You know where I'm going?
No.
I'm going to Beit Agnon. But the real Beit Agnon in Buchach.